It's August. Congress and the president are on vacation, and it's supposed to be a really slow news month. But there's Nazis rioting in America. And in Los Angeles, the people that sell bomb shelters have sold out for the next several months. And democratic governments in Venezuela and Kenya are threatened. And this week, I met with a friend who was grieving the shocking and untimely death of her young husband. So many chaotic and frightening happenings in so many of our lives, fear of hatred and bigotry that's invading what we've considered a relatively safe space, a college campus in Charlottesville. Threat of nuclear war with North Korea, dictators coming into power, and then the horror of the tragedies that strike in our individual lives of those we love. So much going on that I sometimes want to just say, enough, God. I've taken as much as I can handle. I don't even know what to say anymore. Just let me concentrate on the things that I've already got on my plate, and don't ask me to go beyond them. I'm steering my little boat through waters that are rough or a bit rougher than I feel competent to handle. Life is scary enough, especially when you factor in the things that are out of my control, like a nuclear North Korea, world governments, people controlled by hate. Please don't rock my boat anymore. I don't even want to think about how scary life might be for those people caught in war zones, for refugees that are living with uncertainty or perhaps fearing deportation, for people afraid that their skin color makes them a target, or how scary life feels for those whose next paycheck is uncertain, or whose prognosis is unknown and threatening. It's a common church meme to tell people that are in scary situations that they should just come to church and trust in Jesus and everything will work out. I get a lot of those on my Facebook page. Nice sayings. And I know many people whose faith has literally saved them, kept them going when everything else in the world was collapsing around them. In their desperation, they turned to Jesus, hold on tight, and they came through the storm. Today we remember Florence Nightingale, a person for whom that worked. She's regarded as the founder of modern nursing, a woman of science, but also one who had a mystical devotion to Christ that kept her focused on her mission and kept her faithful through the horrors of tending to all those wounded in the Crimean War battlefields. With people dying all around her and begging for pain relief and help, she must have felt like she was being asked to walk on water in the midst of the storm. Only her faith kept her going. Unlike Peter, she kept her eyes on Jesus, as Peter should have and as we should. But that didn't stop the storm. Everything around was still just as scary. Racism and wars and threaten, and there's threats to our freedom and human rights that are still here. And life's problems and hurts don't just vanish. It's easy for someone else to say to you piously, just trust God. But we mostly fail. Our faith weakens, we look at the waves, and instead of saying to us, you failed, and walking away, Jesus is there to grab us, to catch us, to support us, to set us up straight again, ready to give it another go. Jesus reached out and took Peter's hand. His help did not depend on Peter's faith, luckily. nor on yours or mine. Or look at Elijah, the prophet whose story we heard just a few minutes ago. Elijah has worked for God's kingdom that he's been called to, and it's gotten dangerous. So he's hiding in a cave, and God wants to know, why are you here, Elijah? Because Elijah's supposed to be out doing his job in Israel. Well, Elijah's hurt because it seems like God hasn't kept God's part of the bargain, that God's become untrustworthy. In the beginning of his ministry, it looked like God was coming through. Elijah asked God to restore a widow's son who had died after she'd shared the last of her bread with him during a famine, and God obliged. Elijah called down fire on God's altar as a challenge to the prophets of Queen Jezebel, and God obliged. But now the queen is out for revenge, and Elijah decides to trust himself rather than God's call, and he finds himself in such despair that he contemplates suicide. And in that terrible, faithless place, God reaches out to him, not in some grand way that the ancients especially expected would happen when a God was going to appear, tornadoes and earthquakes and fires. Nope. God reaches out in the silence of despair when nothing else is there. Literally nothing. To hear God's voice, sometimes we have to stop and be silent. And when God questions his attitude, why are you here in this cave, Elijah? Elijah begins his complaint about what a victim God has turned him into and how faithless God has been. He says, I'm here because it's scary out there. In any way, it wouldn't make a difference because everything I've accomplished has led nowhere. I've never heard a better characterization of depression. Elijah isn't looking for God or God's help, but God comes anyway, and comes with the most powerful show possible. No, not with powerful show. God comes in powerless silence, which is, by the way, how God shows up in Jesus, the infant. God shows up not because Elijah asks, but because God knows Elijah needs him. The disciples in the boat in the storm were experienced boatmen. They aren't asking for Jesus' help either. Common sense says that a rabbi wouldn't be much use. But Jesus shows up not because they ask, but because the disciples need him. And biblical thought, only God is imaged as walking on the sea. So the disciples get the lesson again. This is God with us, Emmanuel. And with us proactively. When Peter sinks, Jesus reaches out his hand and catches him. When Jesus climbs into the boat, the storm stops. Peter's faith is what enabled him to take the risk to get out of the boat. Your faith, however little, has enabled you to take the risk of being here this morning, to take the risk of being challenged by God's word, challenged to change the beliefs and actions that are based on those beliefs that may make you comfortable, but may hurt other people. And change, like change in atmospheric conditions, will bring storms into your life. As if life didn't have enough storms on its own. It's only faith that calls you to think about other people's problems when you have so many of your own. Perhaps the problems of people that you will never meet, who are on the other side of the globe, or with whom you share no affinity. letting their problems into your life can be as threatening as waves swamping a boat. But at least your little boat of family, friends, colleagues, groups, that little boat seems a haven, a relatively safe place. Many of us like to think of our church as that kind of safe place, where Jesus is in our boat and keeps out the chaos and the waves. The part of the church that you are sitting in, this is often called a sanctuary, a safe, holy place, because God is there. It's also called the nave, where you sit, from the Latin for boat, as in navy. The church is a boat full of disciples. And the church that Matthew wrote his story to was in turmoil, in a storm, and he wanted the church to remember that they were not going to solve their problems without Jesus in their boat. This is good advice to the church with a capital C and to individual churches in every age. Remembering that Jesus is in our boat and that he reaches out his hands to everyone on all sides encourages risk takers and calms fears. In this season, when we're remembering the turmoil in the church that came with the reformers and the storms that followed, and as we're living through this week of turmoil in our collective lives, hate and suspicion, we also recall that any time we put a barrier between ourselves and others, then Jesus is on the other side. The side where there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, reaching out his hands to save us from the waves that we have made, calling us out of our boats into the world. So, how do you know what risks you should take that are going to be good for the world and which ones are going to harm the community? Which will bring needed change to prevent harm and which will end up causing harm? Christians face continual uncertainty and doubt about courses of action. And that asks us, should we be a rock of stability or should we step off the boat and sink like a rock? Christians, you, me, we're called to learn to live in this shaky boat of uncertainty and doubt. And we're only able to do that because we have Jesus' assurance that he is in the boat with us, that he's right here with us. As St. Paul wrote, you don't have to go searching for Jesus, God's word, because the word of faith is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Jesus is in your boat. That's the promise to which we can cling, and for which we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.